And actually, it's very nice, just in that connection, to notice that when the people are speaking, maybe the first point of the verse 10, when the people are gathered together, they respond to this invitation. And then Ezra stands up and says, "You have transgressed. You have been unfaithful." And then they have to respond and tell them, "You have to make confession." Ezra had made a confession in chapter 9. That didn't count, if you might say it. That didn't count for them. They also had to make confession themselves. They had to do the will of God themselves. They had to separate themselves from the people of the land and the wives. It wasn't just the wives. It was all the influence that the people of the land had been permitted to have upon their and when the people respond in verse 12, what they say several things. It will take us a long time. They say, end of verse 13, "There are many of us who have transgressed in this matter." Now the percentage, as Brother Brian was just pointing out, as a percentage, it's about 100 people. But they felt how severe it was. They felt how serious it was. They said, "There's so many of us." They felt how bad it was. They did not make light of it. They magnified the sin so that they would recognize that it needed to be repudiated, and they did not speak of it in a light way. So while, on the one hand, we have all these names here, and they're not hard to count how many there were. There weren't thousands of them, but they felt that there were many. They really took it upon themselves to sense what God had felt about this sin all along.
I'd like to say that it seems from the book of Ezra, even if it was one couple, they would have acted on the same way. Because it was God's principle. It is not the quantity of them, how many of them are involved in this. It's the principle that God has established in His Word. So whether they were 100, whether they were 1,000, or whether can say there was a couple, just one couple, they had to act on the same line because it was God's principle.
I was just going to add one phrase on that. The influence of one, especially a leader, you see how quickly that impacts the company.
I was just going to say, with regard to just a few, percentage-wise, it is really small, which is startling, I think, not to go back too far, but to go back to chapter 9. It's a small percentage, and Ezra's reaction, just to highlight that again, to confess that he had committed it. Ezra hadn't taken up one wife. Ezra wasn't even living in the same country, I think. And yet he felt the effect of sin. But nevertheless, we see the grace of God. Because the other thing that strikes me is, it's not that many people. Just throw them all out, and you're fine with them. You're separate from them. But instead, we have this long chapter of confession, and this long, drawn-out process for such a small percentage to bring them back.
He's the great from the world. He's very high. At the same time, the blessing is like this. God is the great name and the great after. And then the great provider after all of that. And then the great provider. Go back to somebody with a mission. And time again, and it's the great. God lifts him. He's everything. He's so wise. Abraham, the greatest concern from God, wouldn't have been an act of sin, but it was a struggle for the Lord of God. And God blessed him, that he came back to all. And he told him, "I will bless you, that he gave you this gift." His separation can be very costly, but at the same time, the blessing of God is high, and God blessed him on that. And you see that in 2 Timothy chapter. If a man therefore bears himself from him, he shall be a beggar, and to honor, sanctified, and used for the master of youth, and prepared to do every good work. So it is good for the Lord to use it. God would not use somebody violently. He would use it more than he would use it.
I like the thought that he appreciated it. He was isolating and forcing it out. But also, for 11 years, it's just you took care of yourself from the people of the land and from the king of Wales. So we talked to the place where Nick is bringing home to us today. It seems that some of us, some of the people who our friends are, because it's very, I think that's the list, that not only who you marry, but also who your friends are. And this is a challenge to all of us, that, you know, we won't live in a world, we can't live in isolation, because we want to be a good witness to people around us. But we do have to be careful. How do we make our living friends more excellent? So, I think that's a warning that we have to take from all of us, young and old, that if we're not careful, the people who we make our best friends, some of them can actually show us down. In some cases, some have drawn us to Christ. So, I mean, there's some people who, if I over here today, they won't have chosen them, then I would be humbled to be friendly to me and do me with Christ. So, we've got to be careful. We've got to be very careful. But having said that, we don't want to defend people who are doing this.
Yeah, I think our associations are very important, that they be guarded. The exercise that we have had before us is that here for the 3-day period of time, there are those who took up the depth of the exercise that Ezra had and now move in a positive direction. But I think, and I know we're about ready to close.
We have 3 minutes.
Yeah. I'm thinking that we can't get away from one of the oppositions that manifests itself. That whenever there is an exercise in the heart to separate unto Christ, there is the influence of the enemy lurking to upset the situation. You've got 4 men in verse 15 who stood up against the exercise. Satan is not interested in seeing the people of God walk in that path of separation unto Christ. He is going to raise all hell to oppose that. And I think we need to be cognizant of that. That our separation then is in accord with the exercise of heart, the depth of that exercise that brought us to this place, so that there is no room for the enemy to derail that exercise. Did I go beyond the three?
That was good. But I think, again, we don't want to end up on the negative point. I want to highlight the point again, that there is a reward for a godly walk. There is a reward for godly association. Whatever man sows, that all people shall reap. It's not only just for the bad things. It's also for the good things. If there is a holy walk with the Lord, there was blessing. There is beauty. Because again, the influence around us, and I think the point that Brother Sam was making about even friends, even associates, people that influence us, not only in the home, but outside of the home. Why we act the way we act? Why we dress the way we dress? Because my friends, because I have to be cool with them. Is that the way we, what kind of influence we are under? And throughout the whole day today, the Lord was speaking to our heart about how important it is to be close to Him in His Word, in His presence. I think really, the two principles that really, really important are summarized in the Sunday school, read your Bible, pray every day.
Amen.
I mean, it cannot get simpler than that. That's just the two ingredients for Christian success, for Christian blessing. If you read your Bible and be in the presence of the Lord, you will grow and you will be separated.
Just to close, perhaps, I'd like to read a verse that was referenced earlier in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 45 says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?" So we've seen how one can feed and give meat. And then the next verse is, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing."
Now it's time to be a brethren for the ministry.